Welcome, everybody. My name is Celeste Elliott. I am your host. I'm here every Thursday for Wake Up to Spirit. And today we have a very special episode. Of course, March is Women's History Month. So I found some incredible guests for us. This week we have the amazing Shannon Taggart. So say hi, Shannon.
Hi, thank you for having me again. It's great to be back.
Oh, I'm so blessed that you and honored that you were willing to come back on. And, you know, Shannon is a friend of the show and a friend of Lilydale. And how many years actually have you been, because we talked about this last time you were on, you've been coming to Lilydale for a long time.
Yeah, since 2001. I can hardly believe it. So yeah, it's it flew by.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I'm still processing that 2001 wasn't like 6 years ago. So
yeah.
Funny how that goes, but so Shannon, for folks who don't know you, they probably know your work, because you had how many weeks was your book Seance on the Amazon top seller list?
Oh yes, that was so exciting. When it came out, it was a top seller on Amazon, and I screen grabbed it because I couldn't believe it. So that was pretty cool. And that was actually, it came out right before the pandemic. So fall 2019, but the very cool news that I can announce here is this fall, it's going to be re-released in a new edition. And I'm so thrilled and excited.
Excellent.
Yeah. So it'll be back in print.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, there are so many people who have said to me, I can't get a copy of this book anywhere. And I'm like, just wait, it's coming back. So
yeah, we've been finally. Waiting.
Yeah.
Finally. So,
and it's so tell our listeners a little bit about that work, because that is a kind of a prolific compilation of things, including original work. So
yeah, yes. So in 2001, I started a photography project in Lilydale when I was working as a photojournalist. And I thought I would spend a few weeks making a short project about this quirky town that was so amazing and unusual, and this different faith that I knew very little about when I began. And lo and behold, here I am over 20 years later, still processing and talking about my time in Lilydale. And I compiled it into a book in 2019 called Seance. And the reason it took me so long is because I discovered the history of spiritualism. Mm-hmm. And I found out spiritualism was this huge force in Western culture, and a lot of these histories had been censored, and I had never read about it in my textbooks, and often the media, you know, obscures these facts as well. And so that was why it took me so long to get the book out, because I was making these pictures inspired by spiritualist aesthetics and spiritualist history, and nobody understood it because very few people knew about the history. Yeah. So when I put the book together, I included a lot of spiritualism's visual history, a lot of the facts about the religion, in order to frame my own work. And great. So then, and then it's my own photographs. And then at the end, there's the stories, because in spiritualism, one of the best things is that you get all these great stories and all these really amazing things happen that are improbable, or, you know, you have all these incredible experiences, and I couldn't show all of that in the photos. The photos are show other elements of what's mysterious and wonderful and incredible about spiritualism. So that's how the book, it took a long time, but it was worth it.
Yeah. It's an amazing, amazing piece of work. So congratulations again.
Thank you.
And for those who haven't checked it out, now, you know, it's coming back out in the fall, and,
And it's going to be, it's also an exhibition, and it'll, so there's an exhibition based on the book, and that'll open in Pensacola, Florida in the fall. Two.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay. That is very exciting. So, yes. Gosh, another excuse to go to Florida. Darn.
I know, I'm excited. You know.
So that's fantastic. And so tell us, because you certainly now are a bit of an expert on spiritualist history. Tell us about, you know, what's your favorite subject matter with women in spiritualist history?
Okay, so thinking of women in spiritualism, I brought with me today to talk about, to discuss two. I know I was, ooh, but they're very deep. There's a big connection. So that's two spiritualist artists. The great first being Georgiana Houghton. She was an English spiritualist, active in the late 1800s, and also the other woman is Hilma af Klint, who is also a spiritualist artist, Swedish, active a little bit later, but around the, you know, there was some similar overlap, and they were both spirit artists and spiritualists. They were both brought to spiritualism because they lost their sisters. Each was brought to spiritualism after that loss. Mm-hmm. They were both trained as artists, and they both came to be guided by spirit guides to create absolutely fantastic works of art that are now being acknowledged as pioneering works in abstract art. And so they're very deeply connected to the very birth of modern art. And these facts have been missing or obscured through history. And so their accomplishments as spiritualist artists are now affecting contemporary artists such as myself. And so I admire them both for their clarity of vision. They both really believed in their works and that their works were important and were should be seen, should be. Georgiana Houghton produced her own show, spent all of her money putting together a show for herself in London. And wow. Hilma af Klint spent her whole life working on works that she realized the world was not ready for. So she continued the work with complete sincerity, but left it so that it shouldn't be shown until years after her death. And she said 20 years, but it ended up being 40 years before they were ever even seen, which was in the 1980s. But then excitingly enough, recently in 2018, it was her first major retrospective was at the Guggenheim Museum in New York.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be the most well-attended exhibition in the museum's history. The catalog is the best-selling catalog in the museum's history. And so it just makes it this very exciting time for spiritualism you know, their efforts way back in history are now affecting us now in spiritualism.
It's amazing. We take for granted today, I think, that female artists are taken seriously. And I think that we're just starting to uncover in general, whether it's musicians or visual artists or performance artists, we're rediscovering the work of these people that was sort of brushed aside no matter what the subject matter was. But to have these two remarkable women who were doing spirit art at that time, which, by the way, we should probably define spirit art at some point. Right. I was just sitting here thinking there's probably going to be people listening that have no idea what that means. So, right. Because it can mean a few different things depending. So,
it's different in practice for everyone.
Right.
So spirit art is art that is created through inspiration, through spirit. And Hilma af Klint as an artist is very interesting because she began her spirit works as automatic. Even though she was trained as an artist, she said the spirit actually physically took her hand and helped in the making.
Wow.
There was a period of time where she stopped work And after that work, she worked from inspiration. She would get the visions and then she herself would draw them. So her works are a product of two different techniques. Houghton, I'm not really sure of the mechanics, but both women say that the contents in the creation are not authored from themselves. They are authored through them.
Yeah.
So that's what spirit art is. And in spiritualist art, the automatic process is very important. And so that's why, you know, photography also has a deep connection with spiritualism. And actually, Georgiana Houghton worked with the first English spirit photographer, Frederick Hudson. She made photographs with him in his studio in London. And so she's part of photo history as well.
That's amazing. I don't know that many people would have known that. So, wow.
Okay. I didn't, you know, in fact, that's where I first encountered her, was through the history of spirit photography, because I became early on, through learning at Lilydale that there was even a thing called spirit photography, because I was not taught that in photo school. So, you know, through that research, I came upon her name and her pictures, but I didn't know until much later that she was an artist.
Wow.
In fact, I didn't discover her work until after I had already known about Hilma af Klint's.
Wow. That is amazing. So how did you discover Hilma af Klint?
Well, so after I started researching spirit photography, then I realized, oh, there was also spirit art, you know, and I learned that too, because of Lilydale and the beautiful precipitated paintings and some of the objects in the museum. So I started studying spirit art, and I came upon this catalog. This is from a show in the 80s that was in Los Angeles. It's called The Spiritual in Abstract Painting. And this is the first show that showed Hilma af Klint's work. And there's an entry about her. So that's where I first discovered her works. And then started doing research on all the painters. And at that time, so this is like early 2000s. Mm-hmm. If you went to a museum, which I did, like in New York, and I saw some abstract paintings that I knew were spiritualist art, but even the labels on the wall did not say that. Right. They were presented more as folk art. They didn't talk about the spiritual content or the process. And so it's really exciting to see museums like the Guggenheim now honor the authenticity of the processes and what the artists said they were doing.
Yeah. Amazing. We should also, my brain just switched gears, if you could tell that, sorry. I was also thinking we should talk about this amazing exhibit that's happening right now in the Minneapolis Institute of Art, MIA, the gallery, called Supernatural. So you actually had a chance to go and check that out, correct?
Yeah. So, funny enough, so every year, every summer, I work on a symposium in Lilydale. Mm. And in 2017, the curator of Supernatural America from Minneapolis Institute of Art, Robert Cozzolino, came to the symposium. Mm-hmm. And so we met him, and that was the first time he came to Lilydale, and he discovered all the beautiful spirit art. And he really fell in love with the Campbell Brothers painting of Azur.
Yeah.
And so exciting to announce that it actually is in the show on display in the Minneapolis Institute of Art. I've seen it. It looks beautiful. It was very thrilled to see Azur in the museum and not in the Maplewood Hotel.
Right.
But the show is amazing. There's a lot of spiritualist art and objects in the show. There's also works by various famous painters who are inspired by similar ideas. Yeah. And you're going to see the show in person, right, Celeste?
I am. Yeah. So end of this month, because it's March today. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, very, very excited. And the precipitated paintings, because you mentioned that, there, that style is said to have been where the mediums would sit and the painting would just come onto the canvas without the artist touching them.
Yes.
So the Campbell brothers, who created Azure, I want to call him life size, but I'm struggling with the irony of calling him life size, because he's supposed to be the image of a very, very, very old, spirit who was, kind of acting as a guide, if I have that story correct. So, but, Campbell brothers were internationally famous for precipitated paintings. And, cause I know they did a lot of work over in Europe as well as.
Yes.
Space here. So.
Oh, bless you. Sorry.
No, you're more than fine.
Yeah, the Campbell brothers and the Bang sisters, were the most famous precipitated artists of the day, of the era, and both were active in Lilydale. And Ron Nagy, the Lilydale historian, actually did a really cool book called Spirit Paintings.
Yes.
And it has a lot of the firsthand accounts of what it was like to be in a seance and when these happens, and they kind of describe them almost like Polaroid pictures, where the images rise to the surface. And so I love reading those firsthand accounts of like people describing what it was like to be in the room when these paintings were produced.
Yeah. I also love the stories about the Bang sisters, not when they were in residence in Lilydale, but I believe they were in Chicago and the police kept trying to bust them and they couldn't find any paint or brushes in the house. which I think, you know, I think one time they found like a little bit of house paint and like a great big brush, and they were like, well, there's this. But I thought that was, you know, fantastic, because it's like, you know, sometimes seeing is believing, and sometimes,
yeah,
you know, it was one of those trust but verify things for some people. So, but the fact that these are still around and they're being celebrated now is just huge. So,
I have noticed a lot. It's astounding how much more interest there is in these topics and this art.
Yeah.
Since I first started in 2001. So it's very exciting. It's exciting to see this being reassessed. It's exciting to learn about it in a different way and have so many people researching it and wanting to represent this history, re-explore this history.
Exactly. Yeah. I think there's a real resurgence in exploring the sacred in all kinds of different contexts these days, which is, you know, incredibly, incredibly special to be a part of. So, and I can't wait for, I can wait because I would like time to go at a normal pace instead of super fast, but, but it's going to be exciting to see how this evolves and if this, you know, the contemporary artists such as yourself, where this goes over the next, you know, 10, 20, 50 years, which is not me trying to put pressure on you, by the way. So, do you have pieces that are sort of your favorite from those two artists that we were talking about?
Oh gosh, there are so many. I mean, I truly, truly love both of these artists and both of these works. I don't just love the ideas or the fact that they were spiritualists. The works actually move me. And in my own book, I was able to license one Hilma af Klint image and one Georgiana Houghton image. Nice. And the cool thing about the Georgiana Houghton image, I think I can find the one that's in. Oh, it's this one. This is the image that is licensed in my own book. Wow. I was looking for, I had to choose one because the artist Toni Orsler wrote about her work and we had to license one image to illustrate it. And I thought, they're all so beautiful. I don't know which to choose. And so I was Googling her pictures and that one popped up. And I thought to myself, gosh, I've never seen this one before. And when I looked at the title, the date was the exact date that I was looking at. It was in June. Oh,
that's crazy.
And I said, oh my God, this is the one I have to use because that's just... That's just such confirmation that that was the painting to use.
Oh, that's perfect.
So that's how I chose it. And I mean, Hilma af Klint too, it would be hard to choose which one because I mean,
yeah,
they're really astounding. I got to see the Guggenheim show several times in person and her paintings for the temple, like when you walked in and it was just, they were all there. And I mean, they're huge paintings and they were all shown together. It'd be so hard to pick just one. And another interesting thing about her showing her works at the Guggenheim was that in some of her writings, she talked about like one day my pictures will be in a round building and people will walk in a spiral and see them. And that was what she was talking about for the series called Paintings for the Temple, I think it is. Oh, and, wow. The Guggenheim, if anybody, you know, knows that architecture from Frank Lloyd Wright, it is a big circular building and you have to walk in a spiral to see the art. So I love that, like being this prophetic aspect of her work.
That's, you know, not many people get a preview of how their work is going to be taken or appreciated. So... that in itself, you know, is beyond impressive. So, wow. Oh, so, I have to, okay. So, Shannon, would you mind sharing with our audience, what are you working on now?
Okay. So, other than the reissue of my book, I'm working on another illustrated book with the sociologist James McLennan on a group. I guess they would cut, it's hard to describe them because they were working in a spiritualist capacity, but they weren't necessarily spiritualists. It was called SORAT, the Society for Research on Rapport and Telekinesis. And so this group, it was started by the poet John Neihardt, who wrote the book Black Elk Speaks.
Yeah.
One of the biggest, you know, with the medicine man Black Elk. Yeah. And so he wanted to do ESP and parapsychology experiments. So he gathered students from the University of Missouri and they started working together. And then it went on for 50 years. It became this huge endeavor. A lot of famous parapsychologists studied this group. Yeah. And I and James McLennan saved the archive. So it's all their photos and all their videos. And they have spirit movies. They have audio of everything they did and, photographs of everything. I mean, it's, and letters, they had a whole, automatic writing that spirit letters. So it's a big undertaking because it's a lot of material.
Yeah.
But I really do feel strongly about saving this material. And this, it's a very interesting time because this is material that was created as testimony, you know, for science, right, but then was too problematic for proof and too, you know, there was a lot of what's true and what's false here, as with anything. And, you know, with many endeavors in spiritualism, it's really hard to pin things down and prove things. And so this stuff was kind of discarded. And now me as an artist, I understand the value of this as a creative endeavor and as this product of their endeavor. And it's and like the beauty of the images, this is one of the images
Oh, cool. Yeah.
From the of a table flying. And so, yeah, so it's been, it's a lot of research. It's like, it's actually a really big undertaking. I'm not trained as an archivist. I admire, those skills. I'm learning as I go. And, but it, so it's a different project for me because I'm writing and editing and, compiling and kind of storytelling about what happened. And I've been working with, like I said, James McLennan, who he wrote a book called The Entity Letters about the group. And it's a very interesting book. And he's been familiar with them for 40 years. But yeah, so that book should be out in fall 2023. It hasn't been like officially announced yet, but I can say that I'm working towards that.
That is amazing. What an amazing project and incredibly, thank you for doing that work, for preserving this, because it is very, very, very important.
So, I believe so too. And it's an archive. Yeah. That they didn't know what to do with. Nobody was sure, but now so many artists are picking up this history and kind of helping to tell the story of moments like this.
So that it leads me to, because the concept of human potential and what happens when you are in alignment with your own soul and your own purpose, and how that can be expressed emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, intellectually, across all of those, you know, and then to have the added intelligence of intuition and higher power and spirit participation. When all of that comes together, this is a much easier world to be in.
And also it's, for the time, you know, the scientists who were studying this group, the SORAT group, they were looking at it for cold, hard evidence.
Oh, you and have to.
So, yeah. But I see this archive as, well, as we evolve and think about things in different ways, what else can you look for in this? Like, you know, so we're hoping to deposit this in an archive that can be accessed.
You never know what you're going to, that's another reason why it's so important to preserve that. if there wasn't I have failed at an example. I was going to talk about oceans and temperature and all of that, but I don't think it's applicable. So I'm just going to move on. And I'm going to cut that piece out. So there you go. but yeah, this is amazing. And it also leads me to my favorite table tipping joke, which is, you know, table tipping is a big part of spiritualist history, even from before the formation of modern spiritualism with the Fox sisters, but people practicing table tipping, looking for answers. And my favorite joke is, but really they could ask a lamp because that can shed a little light on the subject.
I like that. I haven't heard that before.
That's because I have a very punny guide that gave that to me a couple of years ago. And I thought it was, I always remembered it because why not? So, but okay. So the only other thing I really wanted to touch on with you, what are your sort of favorite aspects of modern spiritualism? In addition, of course, to the spirit art, what kind of keeps drawing you back?
Well, I think the healing is really beautiful and important. And anytime you can bring healing into the world, one thing I was fascinated with was that you can study mediumship or you can kind of learn how, you know, you can expand those skills. Not everybody's going to be great at it. It's kind of like learning the piano. Like that was shocking to me, that spiritualists believe that. I thought you just had to be born a medium and that was it, and done and done.
Yeah.
So I really actually enjoy the classes, or, you know, seeing and experiencing, even though I'm not a medium, and but it does help me in my artistic mediumship, if you know, as a way to say that.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. And then tell us about, are you coming back to Lilydale for another symposium this summer?
Yes. So fantastic. There, and actually this year is a symposium that, it's been 3 years in the making because of COVID. So there was a list of speakers that we prepared way back in 2019, and they hadn't been able to make it here. So right. They wanted to keep holding it. And so we've held it up until this year. So finally, it's a list of speakers. They are on my website, which is shannontaggart.com. I have an events thing. I'm also doing online. I'm presenting a series from, there's a kind of like a few greatest hits from past symposiums that are being represented. So there's speakers who did a talk here at Lilydale and then are representing that talk, for trying to get a broader audience in the UK. And those details are also at my website, shannontaggart.com/events.
Perfect. Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you so much. And I'm very excited to see you, at the end of the month.
That's going to be fun.
And I'm always excited to see you in Lilydale. So we can't wait to see you this summer as well. So.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait to be back.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And for those of you who are asking, calendar of events for the Lilydale Summer 2022 will be up on the website here this month in March. And the catalog, we are hoping we'll be back from the printers in March as well. So until next time, thank you so much. We're sending you good vibes, and have a really good day.